Recording number 6. Other legislation impacting on tenanted properties. Here is a range of other legislation which directly impacts on residential property management. The Building Act 2004 and the Building Code. The Building Act 2004 and the Building Code encompass requirements for a property to be healthy and safe and sanitary. The requirements in the Act and the Code apply to new building work. The requirements don't affect existing buildings unless they're renovated, altered, or changed use. The Building Act 2004 aims to ensure that the building work carried out on a property so that buildings are safe and don't harm the health of the people who use them. Most of the building work requires a building consent before any work can be started. Under the Act, all new building work must comply with the New Zealand Building Code. Under the Residential Tenancies Act 1986, landlords must comply with all building and health and safety requirements, RTA 1986, Section 45(1)-C. Building consent. When building consent authorities usually check local territory authorities consider building consent applications, they are checking to see whether the building, if built as shown on the plans, will comply with the building code. In a few cases, the building consent authority can grant a waiver or a modification of the building code requirements, but only if they meet the purposes of the Building Act, such as protecting public health and safety. The Building Act also has special provisions for building on land that is subject to natural hazards such as floods. The Act also has provisions for buildings other than private homes. These have more stringent requirements for aspects such as fire safety, as for commercial buildings, hotels, motels, etc. A property owner needs consent from a local authority to change a building's specified use. For example, to convert a building from a private home to a childcare facility or an apartment block into offices. When property owners apply for and is granted building consent, they will be given a Project Information Memorandum, PIM, from the consent authority. The PIM sets out any planning issues. Code Compliance Certificate, CCC. After the building consent is issued, the local authority will carry out inspections to make sure that the work is being carried out as shown on the plan. After the final inspection of the finished building project, a Code Compliance Certificate, CCC, is issued confirming that the building consent authority, usually the local authority, is satisfied that the completed building work complies with the building consent. If a property manager has been asked to carry out a rental appraisal for a prospective landlord and the property has recently been renovated, it should have a Code of Compliance certificate so it meets current building standards. Certificate of Acceptance. In some circumstances, such as when a previous owner carried out the work without building consent, the local authority will instead issue a Certificate of Acceptance. Property owners are advised to obtain a certificate of acceptance for any work carried out on a property that has not had a Code of Compliance certificate issued. The certificate of acceptance in effect tells the building companies, says that the building complies with the building code as far as the local authority can tell. Relevance of the Building Act 2004 to the residential property management. Residential property managers have to know what they can and can't rent out. Any property they rent out must be fit for habitation and sanitary. Condition of the rental property. When we talk about inspecting the condition of a rental property, we mean looking carefully at the state that the property was in, especially how good or bad its physical state is. How does the property look, smell and feel? Does the building meet legal requirements set out by the District Council and the Building Act 2004? Pukeka rental managers have property compliance checklist that you can follow and fill in as part of your property inspections. This checklist or report provides a list of what you need to check and is a formal record of what you saw. It has room for you to make notes of things that needs to be repaired or replaced by the tenant and or by the landlord. It will also help you build the listing information for the rental property and assess the rent value you will recommend to the property owner. Photos are always helpful to keep on the property file. Meeting local authority bylaws. As this is the first time you inspect the new rental property, you must check that the property meets, complies with local authority bylaws. Examples of this may include checking that the fencing around swing pools and spas meet the legal standards, the property is weathertight as required by the building code. Responsibilities of the owner. Under section 14B of the Building Act, an owner is responsibilities of the owner. Under section 14B of the Building Act, an owner is responsible for ensuring that the building work carried out by them complies with the building consent, or if there is no building consent, with the building code. The owner is responsible for obtaining any necessary consents, approvals and certificates. Section 14B also states that they must ensure compliance with any notices to fix. Fencing and Swimming Pools Act 1987. Some residential rental properties have swimming pools. Landlords must ensure that the swimming pool is fenced in accordance with the Fencing and Swimming Pool Act of 1987. If the fencing is not compliant, this will need to be fixed before the property can be tenanted. Section 8 of the Fencing of Swimming Pools Act 1987 outlines the obligations of the owner or persons in control of the pool as follows. Fencing is the Swimming Pool Act 1987. 8. Obligations of the owner and persons in control of the pool. 1. Every owner of a pool to which this act applies shall ensure that, except as provided in any exemption granted under Section 6, the pool or some or all of the immediate pool area, including all of the pool, is fenced by a fence that complies with the requirements of the Building Code in force under the Building Act 2004 in respect to swimming pools, subject to this act at all times, and this act applies in respect to the pool. Every owner of a pool which is in the act applies shall comply to ensure that there is compliance with every condition imposed under Section 6. Every person who is in possession of the property on any pool to which this act applies is situated shall ensure that the pool is not filled or partly filled with water at any time when the person knows or could reasonably be expected to know that any obligation imposed by the section or that of any other person is not being complied with. The fact that a person complies with any obligation imposed by the section shall not excuse the person from any other duty imposed by law. The Fair Trading Act 1986. The Fair Trading Act 1986, FTA, forbids certain conduct and practices by those in trade. In particular, it prohibits misleading or deceptive conduct or false representations. The words in trade are defined in the Act as meaning any trade, business, industry, profession, occupation, activity of commerce, or undertaking relating to the supply or acquisition of goods or services, or to the disposition or acquisition of any interest in any land. Relevance of the Fair Trading Act 1986 to residential property management. The activities of property managers will normally be in trade, therefore covered by the Act. Section 9 of the Fair Trading Act prevents any person in trade engaging in conduct that is misleading or deceptive or likely to mislead or deceive. The implications are that the property manager found to have engaged in misleading or deceptive conduct will be in breach of the FTA. This is particularly applicable when considering what a property manager says or does not say about a property in relation to compliance with the Building Act and the associated building regulations. Under the Fair Trading Act 1986, silence is not a defence for a person engaged in trade and providing professional advice. Section 11 of the Act is also relevant to property managers. It states no person shall, in trade, engage or conduct that is or conduct in a way that's liable to mislead the public as to the nature, characteristics, suitability, purpose or quality of services. This means that the property manager must carry out the services as outlined in the agreement with the landlord. If they fail to do this, they may be criminally liable for their actions. The penalty for misleading and deceptive conduct is up to $200,000 per offence for individuals and up to $600,000 per offence for businesses. Before making any representation in relation to compliance with the Building Code, it is important to make sure the information is accurate and not misleading. Privacy Act 1993. The Privacy Act applies to people, businesses, organisations within New Zealand. The Act encompasses any person or bodies of persons with a corporate or unincorporated Section 2. This includes property managers and means that in the course of their businesses they are required to comply with the Privacy Act Section 3 and sets out criteria relevant to the information held by a property management company. Personal information means information about an identifiable individual, information that can identify the individual by name, but it can also include information that has sufficient detail so that anybody receiving the information will be able to identify the individual concerned. People who consider that their privacy has been breached may complain to the Privacy Commissioner as outlined in Part 8 of the Act entitled Complaints, Sections 66 to 68. The Privacy Commissioner is responsible for deciding if the complaint requires investigating, Section 71. Can refer it to government agencies or the Ombudsman, Section 72, or mediate a resolution between the parties. Resolutions of this nature can vary and can include voluntary payments to the party whose privacy has been breached or apologies. If resolution is not possible, the matter may end up before the Human Rights Review Tribunal, which has the same powers as a district court. This means that a tribunal can award damages for any harm or loss suffered as a result of the breach of privacy. Substantial monetary awards have been made by the tribunal. Under Section 80, the Commissioner is required to report any breach or misconduct in this regard. Privacy Principles. There's 12 principles set out in criteria concerning collection, 1 to 4, storage, 5 to 9, access, 6 to 7, use, 8 to 10, disclosure of personal information, 11. The principles also include the use of unique identifiers, Principle 12. 12 principles can be viewed on the New Zealand legislation website. Collection of personal information. Principles 1 to 4 of the Act concern the collection of personal information, purpose, source, collection, and manner of collection. In summary, where an agency is collecting personal information from a client, customer, or any other person in the course of their business, the agent should only collect information which is necessary for their purpose. The Privacy Act requires the agency to collect information about an individual from the individual concerned, unless an exemption to the Privacy Act applies. This means that if you're collecting information about a client, for example, you should obtain the information from the client directly, as opposed to through another person. However, it is often not practical to obtain information directly from an individual because they may not hold the information you require. In that instance, you may approach another person or agency to obtain the information which is necessary. The client can also consent to you collecting information about them from another person or agency. If you are collecting information from an individual, the Privacy Act requires that you tell the individual why the information is being collected and to whom you intend to give the information. For example, if the information is going to be used for advertising purposes, then the individual should be told that at the time the information is being collected. You should also advise individuals which agency will be holding the personal information you have collected about them. A property manager was found in breach of Principle 4 by entering a property and taking photographs of the interior without notifying the occupants. The Privacy Commissioner found that the property manager had not complied with Section 48 of the Residential Tenancies Act 1986 and therefore entered a premises unlawfully. Her conduct was found to be in breach of Principle 4 of the Privacy Act 1993. Storage of personal information. Principle 5 and Principle 9 deal with storage of personal information. Once you have collected information from individuals, you must make sure that the information is stored securely. Principle 5. The information should only be held for the duration required. Principle 9. Access to personal information. Principles 6 and 7 deal with access to personal information. Individuals have a right to access information held about them by the agency, Principle 6, and if they consider the information held about them to be inaccurate, they may request that you correct the information held, Principle 7. If a request for correction is turned down, the individual has the right to make the request for correction noted with the details of the correction that they have sought but has not been made. If an individual requests access to the information you hold about them, you have 20 working days to respond to their request. Use and disclosure of personal information. Principles 8, 10 and 11 relate to use and disclosure of personal information. When using personal information about individuals, it's important that the information is accurate, up-to-date and not misleading. Principle 8 requires that it is checked prior to use. Information should only be held for the duration required, Principle 9, and used for the purpose it was collected, Principle 10. Therefore, the information should be disposed of when there is no longer a lawful purpose for holding it. Relevance for residential property managers. Property managers may only collect information for the purpose that it is gathered for. Information may not be disclosed to others unless permitted. Human Rights Act 1993. This act makes it illegal to discriminate against any person because of their age, if they are over 16, colour, disability, employment status, ethical beliefs, ethnic or national origins, family status, marital status, political opinions, race, religious beliefs, sex or sexual orientation. Relevance to the Human Rights Act 1986 to residential property management. As a property manager, it is important that you be aware of your obligations not to discriminate when dealing with tenants and landlords. Under this law, you have the obligation not to discriminate prospective and existing tenants. Notice that it is also illegal to instruct someone to discriminate. For example, it's a breach of the Act for a landlord to ask a property manager to ensure that they lease their house only to a married couple. Likewise, if the property manager follows through on their instruction, they're also breaking the law. Any person affected by such discriminatory treatment can either take their complaint to the Tenancy Tribunal or lay a complaint with the Human Rights Commission. End of part 6.